And on this post-Easter edition of STOA on the Air, it is once again our privilege and honor to have as our guest Father Ray. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. It's not, well, it is post-Easter Sunday.
But it's still Easter until Pentecost, right?
Until Pentecost.
And then it's post-Pentecost.
And then it's baptism of the Lord. No, that doesn't come out.
And then it's you remember remember when they used to call they had those big long fancy names for, instead of calling like Second Sunday, Third Sunday, they had like Septuagesima of a Sunday or whatever those.
I think we do that in the Spanish.
I remember those in my St. Joseph's Parish Mass book. You know, Quintesimo Sunday and. Whatever it is.
It probably got to the point where people couldn't announce it anymore.
And then they said, okay, it's the fifth. That's it. That's what it is. We got through Lent.
We did. Thank you, Jesus.
And
for many things, of course.
Well, yes. But it was quite a Lent, wasn't it?
It has been. You know, during Lent, we came on the one-year anniversary of closed.
The
places
closing.
And churches and everything and a whole year, and you know, now we're opening up and things are good. You know, this past weekend we had the ribbons down since the governor made his declaration, and
yes, the governor said we can he basically said no more restrictions on the number of people, right?
Now let's keep in mind that that doesn't mean that there's still no need for people to take personal responsibility as far as face mask, and if they're not feeling well, you know, stay home.
Right.
You know, I was expecting some backlash because we took the ribbons down, but, you know, everywhere in Albany and Leesburg, anywhere you go, everything is lifted. And people are all over the place.
Right, yeah. And you go to restaurants, you know, remember there was space. There used to be spaces, and they took tables away. But the tables have reappeared, and the chairs have reappeared, and nobody says anything, and people are everywhere.
Yeah, and the people in the comments that I got were, oh, thank you, Father. I can sit in my pew again, because their pew was one that had the tie a little red ribbon across it.
They took away our pew, Father. Yeah.
So people were happy. I know there's always going to be a concern, but I did notice that there was the spacing actually seemed to be better with the whole church open, you know, because you weren't limited to every other pew.
Right, because you could actually naturally space yourself.
Right, and that's exactly what happened. So, you know, slowly things will get back to normal. I was in a meeting this week with the bishop and the other Vicar Ferrains, the deans, and we talked about this very topic as far as what to do. And some of the deans, some of the priests are like, oh, you know, we're just going to bring back the holy water and let people, you know, use it if they want. And I think, you know, that's a bit pushing it. You know, here at St. Teresa's, all of the hand sanitizers have been blessed, so I'm assuming.
Could we get holy hand sanitizer?
Yeah, well, that's what we've got. Every time you use it, it's coming from a blessed distributor of the hand sanitizer. Now, out in the Wild West, they do have those set up with the holy water, but it leaves a mess because it either shoots out too much water or just, you know, and then you got people walking in holy water all over the floor. And so I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, we can do that, Father. Well, we've already looked at it. And
yeah, no.
Yeah, right. But the, you know, the missalettes, the songbooks, it'll all eventually and slowly be coming back. And like I say, you know, it's a personal responsibility. You know, if you don't want to touch the book, you don't have to. You know, and if you still feel unsafe, then you have the dispensation by the bishop to stay home. But let's keep in mind, you know, some of you are staying home, but you're not, because I run into you all over the place. And, you know, I know you got to do shopping and everything, but church is a pretty safe environment as far as everybody's sitting in one direction. And, you know, some people have been coming to the daily masses. 20 people in a church that holds 500, that's pretty safe, you know. So I would encourage you not to get lazy and not to use the COVID as a as an excuse, you know. That is a great work of the devil to say, you know, that's why I don't go to church, but, you know, I'm waiting in line at, you know, a restaurant to get a table around a bunch of people. So, you know, be careful, because the devil will use those things to kind of get at you, to keep you away from the Eucharist. Spiritual communions are good, but they don't replace
It's not the sacrament, real thing.
You know,
it's so, a real thing, but it's not the real thing.
Yeah, so we are slowly getting back to normal, and I still do encourage you, especially if you're one who did not prefer to get a shot, a COVID test shot, you know, or if you have health issues and over certain ages who are very vulnerable to sickness of any kind, you know, wear the mask and play it safe. But come back. If you need to come back, then get back.
Don't be intimidated by the signs we're required to put on the doors either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're on every door everywhere, so
everywhere.
It's not just, it's not just us.
I mean, it's not those signs are not intended to scare you. Those are required by law for every public gathering place. You have to put those signs on there saying, you know, you're taking your responsibility in your own hands, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, so just
take the responsibility. But things are getting slowly getting back. This Monday we have confirmation. So the bishop will be here, 6 p.m. If you would like to come and see the bishop and his...
That's for those of you who are going to listen to the show this weekend.
Yeah.
If you're listening to it after this weekend that we're recording this, the bishop was here this past Monday.
Which would be the 19th. So, good point, Steve.
Yeah, there you go. But yes, you were saying...
So the bishop's coming.
the bishop is generally in the vicinity of this program.
Yeah. And so if you're listening to it after, well, you missed the bishop. He was here on Monday.
And he did a fine job.
It was beautiful. Just a beautiful service.
It was amazing.
So we don't want you left out.
Oh, my goodness. You know, one of these days, and that'll be a fun thing. We move toward the future. One of these days, we'll get to the point where we can, you know, broadcast our things like that live on the radio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We can get to that.
Yes, with generous contributors like people who are listening.
That's right.
And we need rolling chairs.
And rolling chairs.
So in the WTOA room,
we do need rolling chairs. The chairs we're sitting in do not move. Now, for thin and svelte people like your pastor, that's not a real huge problem. But for real huge people like me, that can be a problem. Continuing onward.
That being said, don't drop off 100 chairs at the front of the school.
No, but $100 for the rolling chairs would be good. That would be fine. Where were we?
Well, we're going to talk about the house that's for sale. A lot of people have been asking.
Oh, yeah, what, yeah, yeah.
What's going on with the house. Father Ray?
So
I got evicted.
I got a couple of the questions about that. People were asking me, saying, "So is he moving into the church? Where is he going? You're actually." You're right across the street now. You're sort of in the general vicinity of the church. Not. I mean, the house that we're talking about is the one that's across the street from the church.
On the corner. Right, with the red door.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the sign for sale by
owner. For sale. and that's the one where that's been sort of the rectory for what, 20, 30 years now?
Oh, probably 30 or more.
Yeah,
I think Father. I don't remember.
And it's really a lot of house for one person.
Yeah, I think there were two priests, maybe at one point three priests that actually lived in that house.
And, yeah, at one point.
And you know, it's five bedrooms. It's way too big for one person. It's not economic. You know, it's not a economically wise thing. And the other thing is that, you know, the diocese kind of has this mindset, which is a good mindset, that anytime property that abuts up to the church comes for sale, if it's possible, the church should buy it to protect the property of the church. And, you know, the house right behind the office and right behind the altar, basically, where the stained glass windows are, you know, that property came up for sale. And, you know, those windows, you know, they're not soundproof. And if, you know, the wrong people moved in and decided Saturdays and Sundays were party days with loud music,
you know, like if we wanted to start cranking up Led Zeppelin at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over too well. And so that will become the new rectory. And so the one across the street is for sale. And if you have any questions, just call the office.
So if you'd like to buy it and stock it with rolling chairs.
Except for one that should come here.
That's right.
Steve. So the asking price is $158,000. We've had it. There's a lot of good things in that house. New roof. From the storm a couple years back, and flooring and paint and carpeting and appliances. It's big, five bedrooms, two bath, and it's nice. Got a big yard, big kind of a double lot, and you only have a neighbor on one side. The other three sides are streets. One is the alley, and the other one is Edgewood and Maryland, and then you just have one neighbor right on the back side. So, and I've never, you know, in the 7 years, gosh, just saying 7 years, might be time for me to go.
you got to stick around.
In the 7 years, I've never had any problems with the neighbor. They've been very excellent. So, garage, screen porch, you know. So if you're serious, you know, would more than happy to show it to you. But, you know, if you're not serious and you're just nosy, then no.
Now, we want to see where you live.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So so that's going on. Speaking of building purchases or buildings in general, I guess it was in the bulletin this past week and maybe the week before, talking about the school buildings. There's expansion going on in the at the school.
Yeah.
And for the high school specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that caught my eye was of course, for the high school, but it's also so that you could work with special needs folks.
Yeah.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
So our high school, which is you know, on the back side of the parking lot, is we're outgrowing it, which is kind of what we expected to happen. We didn't think it would happen this fast, and so that's a good thing. And so
that is a blessing.
So we originally looked into a brick and mortar type facility. We need a new gymnasium. The gym that we have now attached to the back side of the high school is not of legal size or space or seating or anything like that for high school and even some junior high sports. So push comes to shove, we met with an architect and a builder who did some work in Douglas for the church out there, and we're looking at an $11 million to probably $16 million, I think, if my numbers are correct, function of building new high school, new gym. And we don't have that kind of money. And so one of the things that we figured is that maybe possibly a modular unit. And so we did some research and we checked with the diocese, and you know, the previous bishops were not in favor of modular unit type building facilities, but Bishop Parks is very much in favor, and he sees that you know, for us to be able to raise half of that money, you know, $6 million, let's say, and then to pay off $6 million.
It's a little easier than $11 million.
Well, ultimately, it's going to be $11 million no matter what. But do you know how long it would take us to make $6 million while continuing what we're doing? We'd never get there.
Yeah.
So we were able to, with the permission of the bishop, find these modular unit, which was all pushed together type thing, and with the investments and a loan from the diocese for the $190,000, we're going to have a brand new building, high school, 8 classrooms, with offices and bathrooms and teacher bathrooms, and it'll go out on the soccer field, so we will lose use of that. This building is 135 feet by 66 feet or something like that. It's big. Wow. You can't miss it. You won't miss it when you all of a sudden drive to church one weekend, and you'll be like, "Hey, oh, where'd that come from?
What's that?
How long has that been there?" So that'll be the new high school, and it'll be placed so that in the future, way in the future, when we do build a brick and mortar high school to connect to the current school, there'll be ample room to do that while continuing the high school as the high school. The gymnasium, which would be about $3 to $4 million, would be placed at the end of the soccer field, so on the road Gillianville in Edgewood, Maryland. So on the tail end across from the car wash, that's where the new gymnasium will eventually go. So that whole area from the current school over through the basketball courts all the way over the soccer field to the end would be the new high school connected to the new gymnasium. That being said, if you're listening and you hit the lottery, and you're feeling generous so you don't know what to do, keep us in mind. So what are we going to do with the current high school? Well, that's where the special needs program comes in. This is something that has been, you know, kind of tugging at me. I think the Lord has been saying this is a desperate need in our area. As far as I've spoken with the principal and a few others here at the school, we're not aware of, that doesn't mean it's not out there, but of any private school or that is catering to special needs, high-functioning special need kids. And we want to be able to offer that. And the current high school, it would be perfect because each of the classrooms, minus one, already has private bathrooms, and the facilities are all ready there. So there wouldn't be much need for, you know, a renovation. What there is need is for teachers and administration to be able to run a special needs program, which requires obviously some very unique and special teachers to do so. I mean, teaching, gosh, well, Steve, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You got to be special, especially in today's day and age.
It does take, I mean, it takes special, you know, people to be teachers just in general, but it takes very, very unique and special people to be special needs teachers, for sure.
So if there's anything you can do, if you're still listening to us babble here, add that to your prayer that the good Lord will, you know, provide. I have no doubt that this will be a success. I think this is the purpose of Catholic education, you know, is to help. For a lot of people, Catholic education has become you know, private school with a cross in a classroom. And Catholic education, especially on the college levels, have just, I'm not sure what has happened, but I think the devil's got in there somewhere. And, you know, it's become for the rich, the very wealthy, you know, the well-to-do. I'm glad that we have a high percentage of our kids who have to be on some kind of scholarship to come to our Catholic school. You know, to me, that's what Catholic education is all about and always has been from the very beginning when you know, the monks and the nuns and the brothers, you know, started it. They went out and they got the kids off the streets and they gave them an education. They gave them a chance, you know, and these people have gone off to do amazing, wonderful things in society. And I'm glad that we can still be part of that. So keep the special needs program as well, and for an administrator, director, and a few teachers. We would start, the plan is to start with probably kindergarten through third grade, maybe, and then just add year after year as we go, like we did with the high school, you know, so we can grow in that way.
And that model has worked for us, so...
Yeah, I think God has blessed us. I mean, it hasn't been perfect every single day. You know, there's always problems. I mean, you know, it's like I joke about, you know, being a priest would be great if I didn't have to deal with any people, right? I'm sure being a teacher would be great if you didn't have to deal with students and parents.
If it weren't for the students and parents, gosh, what a great job.
Lord.
Of course, we say that in just purely joking, though.
But, oh, absolutely.
you know, because, you know, it's ministry. You know, teaching is, just like being a priest is. It's something where you're giving of yourself to reach out and touch other people to bring out the best in them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. So anyway, so church is getting back to normal and school is growing.
Yeah.
That's the theme for this edition. You know,
we always sit before we do these things and say, what are we going to talk about? We talk about other things and we never get to them, to those topics.
Did we even get to anything that we said we were going to talk about?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But the bishop is coming Monday. Or
or has been here on Monday or something like that. So that's good. Is there anything we need to mention for the good of the cause?
Outside of rolling chairs.
Rolling chair. I guess that's going to be the word. You know, we always have to have a word that people will come back and mention to you.
Yeah,
to make sure that you know
they listened.
That we know they listened, and so
rolling chairs.
Rolling chairs.
Say, Father, did you get your rolling chairs yet?
That's right. Go up to Father
or Steve
or me. Yeah. No, go to Father because Father's the one that needs to hear this stuff. I know you listen, Father. Father needs to know you listen, and tell Father whether you listen to this on the radio, you know, which means that you live within about two blocks of the church.
And if you bought the house that's for sale,
you'll be able to listen to it on the radio. Absolutely. What a benefit.
What another benefit to it.
Or whether you listen to it on the internet, mm-hmm. on our website, because that's the other place you can listen to it as a podcast. Mm-hmm. So that's the only two places you can actually listen to this right now. So, internet or radio. Let him know where you hear this, because he wants to know.
Yes, yes.
Come up and tell him just right after Mass.
Right after Mass.
And slip him $100 while you're doing it. You know,
for the rolling chairs.
For the rolling chairs, or for the school buildings. Either one. It doesn't matter. Let him know. So any parting words?
You know, you guys have been great. The parish is wonderful, and I know several have been asking when are we getting a second priest. Well. The last words is that this coming year, you are stuck with me and only me. Yay! I can hear some of you now. And then I can hear others.
I can think of worse things.
Amen. Well, you all be blessed. Have a great week.